Six American presidents have made a trip to Ireland during their term of office. John F. Kennedy was the first to land on Irish soil. And fresh in the memory still, of course, is Barack Obama's trip to visit the cousins in Moneygall. Why is it, though, that our tiny island is a chosen destination for US chief executives, and what has motivated so many presidents to make an Irish visit part of their itinerary while in office? David Kilroy is associate professor at Nova Southeastern University and joins me now. David, good morning to you.
Morning, Miles. Thanks for having me.
Remind us of the six who visited here during their terms of office. Obviously started with JFK, finished with Barack Obama. In the middle then
you had Nixon in 70, Reagan in 84, Clinton three times in the 90s, and Bush, the second, George W. Bush, twice in the early 2000s.
So during that period, there were four presidents who chose not to visit us. Why were they the exception rather than the rule, do you think?
Well, they're the exception in the sense that they account for only about 15 years of incumbency collectively. Whereas the other six account for 2/3 of the period of incumbency in that period. So they're the exception also, I think, in the sense that none of them achieved re-election during this period.
Yeah, now, this is something that presidential candidates should take note of.
Exactly. Lyndon Johnson, of course, was elected for a full term, but he finished out Kennedy's first term. But Carter and George H.W. Bush ran for and did not get re-elected. So all of those who came, with the exception of Kennedy, of course, who was assassinated, all of the others served two full terms, and all of them came during their first.
I take it you're putting that forward as a coincidence, not a thesis, that American presidents, unless they visit Ireland, they are turfed out after one term. Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush being cases in point.
Well, I think it's more than coincidental, though, because I think the primary reason that these presidents come to Ireland is for American politics. These are visits which are choreographed to appeal to American voters rather than foreign policy visits, in the with the exception of Clinton's three visits on the Northern Ireland issue.
It's interesting we should be having this conversation on the day when papers have come out showing what Margaret Heckler thought of the visit of Mikhail Gorbachev. And, you know, clearly Ireland was not involved in some great geopolitical negotiation. At least that was her perspective, and I'm sure her perspective was absolutely correct. But because one of the things you've done, interestingly, is you've contrasted Ireland with two countries similar in size who you would have thought might have had more of a stake in all of this. That's Norway and New Zealand.
Well, I think, you know, I come at this from the perspective of somebody who's a student of American foreign policy. And if you understand American presidential travel to be a vehicle for pursuing America's foreign policy goals, it's very hard outside of the Clinton visits to find any real incentive for American presidents to come to Ireland. Whereas two similar countries in terms of size and economy, Norway and New Zealand, both have long-standing security relationships with the United States. Of course, Norway is a member of NATO, and New Zealand in the ANZUS alliance. And in the same period, they have received only two presidential visits each. So I think the attention that Ireland gets from the White House is out of all proportion with its standing on the international stage.
Do we not have a higher volume of trade with the US? Should that not make a difference?
Well, I think certainly not before Ireland joins the EC. And I think membership in the EU, and particularly with the rotating presidency, has impacted Ireland's significance and boosted its importance in terms of the international perspective and the foreign policy perspective of the United States. But I think if you look at the visits, particularly of Reagan, Nixon and Obama, in many ways they are attempts to replicate the Kennedy visit, and they are largely political visits geared towards the American domestic audience.
But the visits of Bill Clinton and of George W. Bush were more to do with foreign policy, in the sense of Northern Ireland, their involvement in Northern Ireland, and the kudos that might or might not be associated with that.
Although George W. Bush, I'm not sure you could call his visits per se. I mean, he arrived the first time and spent the whole period in Dromoland Castle, and of course the second time was a flying visit to Shannon Airport to visit with US troops. But certainly they both were here as part of broader foreign policy agendas. Now Clinton, I think, to a certain degree, there is some correlation between his visits and the other four, in the sense that he tried, at least, or his White House staff tried to create the kind of environment that Kennedy and the others had created, in the sense that they searched out, you know, Cassidy relatives who might provide a vehicle for Clinton to establish his Irish roots. But
they found it impossible, I believe, to get a Nixon relative. There wasn't a Millhouse left.
There were
standing.
No Millhouses left. In fact, there were no Quakers left in Timahoe when even the meeting house was completely gone. They had to dig out the foundations.
And there was even a dispute about where the Millhouses had originally
come
from.
Yeah, there was Timahoe County Offaly, I think, put in a bid for.
So there was a split.
There was a split. Yeah.
Did the Kennedy visit create the template, really, for future presidential visits?
I think so, yeah. I think if you look at Kennedy's visit, the 4 days he spent here in Ireland, the highlight, from an American perspective, the highlight was the visit to Dungannstown. And that certainly got the attention of the press. And in many ways, that was the goal of the White House. There were 70 million people who watched the gathering in Dungannstown on American television, and many more who read about it in magazines and newspapers. And what Kennedy did in Dungannstown in many ways was he established not just his Irish heritage, but I think his claim to Americanism, really.
Because it was a class thing as well. This is somebody who, okay, I'm rich now, or my family is rich, but we came from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, I think on a lot of levels, Kennedy was, there were questions about his, you know, the American presidency. The president is a personification of American identity, at least the dominant values at the time. And many people did not accept Kennedy as representing those dominant values, his Catholicism, and his Irish heritage on the one hand, but also his Ivy League education, his urbanism, you know, I think clashed with this traditional core, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Mm. But he was able to represent
value.
This as this is the American dream. This
well,
is
I
what
think
America's
he,
all
he
about.
He retold the American dream, you know. He took that kind of frontier storyline, what I call the log cabin narrative, and he placed it in Dungannstown, and he rewrote it as the immigrant.
So he was
narrative.
Abraham Lincoln.
He was to a large degree. I mean, you know, I think
this is what he wanted people to believe.
There's certainly an interesting parallel between the construction of the cottage in Dungannstown and the constant rebuilding of the Lincoln log cabin over many years. And certainly, I think that's what he wanted people to believe. And I think, to a large extent, he succeeded in retelling that story. And the measure of his success is the fact that three subsequent presidents have come to try and tell exactly the same story.
Is timing, should we look at the timing of these visits as well, the timing in relation to American politics?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that these visits are made with one eye on the American voter. Reagan, of course, came during election year. Obama and Kennedy the year before the re-election campaign began. Nixon and Clinton came in off-year elections, midterm election years. So, yes, there's no doubt that electoral politics plays a role in this.
Reagan is an interesting visit because Reagan had done something that no other Republican had really been able to do since, had ever really, I suppose, been able to do. And that was to win what had been a locked-in Democratic Irish American vote.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that I find kind of intriguing about these visits, that they are always understood in the American context to be a play for the Irish vote. But I think when you really start to analyze it, the Irish vote is not nearly as easy to understand or discern in the United States. Certainly, it's true that Reagan sheared away a lot of Irish Americans from their traditional base in the Democratic Party. But I would argue that that the traditional Democratic base was already breaking up, even by the time Kennedy was in office in 1960.
Southern Democrats were more or less gone at that stage.
Southern Democrats were gone, but even the Irish American Democratic, you know, bloc was gone. The urban Democratic, the Irish American Urban Democratic Caucus was breaking up as people moved to the suburbs, and you know, America became, the Irish became more assimilated, more middle class. I think even Nixon started that process of you know, shearing away ethnic blue collar voters from the Democratic Party. And the other problem I have with this thesis about the Irish American vote is that, American newspapers and Irish newspapers as well, I think when Obama was here, cited repeatedly this 45 million Irish Americans. But when you get down to the nitty gritty and you look at this, of those 45 million, very few really have any vested interest in Ireland. Many of them are recreational Irish. They are given the changes in the US census process, they claim multiple ethnicities and even since 2000, multiple racial identities. So I don't think too many of them could be easily swayed by an American president coming here. I think these presidents are making a play more broadly to white voters, ethnic voters in America, who would tend to read the American story through the Ellis Island narrative.
And most of the presidential visits were entirely unproblematic. Obviously, there was a lot of security, but protest, even in the case of Reagan's visit, where you would have thought there would have been more protest, there wasn't that much. The exception, though, was Nixon, wasn't it?
Well, the exception was Nixon in the sense that his car got hit with eggs. But I think actually Reagan's visit was more controversial in the sense that the protests were more substantive. I think the Catholic Church in Ireland, for example, certainly made a significant kind of statement when Reagan was here.
Because of the whole Central America
issue. Because of the Central America issue. I think Gareth Fitzgerald was somewhat even lukewarm in his remarks during the Reagan visit. There was certain tension there over American foreign policy in Central America. So I think Reagan managed the visit much better than Nixon, but I think there was more protest during Reagan.
Reagan would have come across, as he did to Americans, as much more cuddly than Nixon. So that would have mitigated the effects.
And he was like Kennedy. He had that charisma. He was able to manage the press. He was far less prickly than Nixon, I think. So I'm not sure Nixon was ever convinced by his own effort to place himself in the Irish narrative either.
Somebody texts in to say Gerald Ford did visit Ireland and stayed with the Mulcahys at Kilrush Hospital in County Limerick. Hospital is a place, yes.
Kilrush is Kilfrush is where the Mulcahys, Jack Mulcahy, was actually, that's where Nixon stayed when he was here at Kilfrush House.
I beg your pardon, Kilfrush House. And so Gerald Ford, did he or did he not visit
Not as a sitting president,
in a private capacity. Yeah. Right, it's Kilfrush. Excuse me, I got confused. Kilfrush Hospital, County Limerick. Right, we have it straight at last. David, thank you very much indeed. Associate Professor of Nova Southeastern University. And David will be speaking on this topic at the Parnell Summer School tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.